Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week is Dr. Alyssa Kaplan, rehabilitation psychologist. Dr. Kaplan completed her undergraduate degree in psychology at Cornell University, her PhD degree in psychology at Columbia University, and she's been working as a rehabilitation psychologist at JFK University Medical Center for more than 20 years. Currently treats patients who are getting outpatient rehabilitation therapy and who are experiencing psychological reactions related to chronic pain, cardiac, pulmonary, or stroke diagnoses. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Joel. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's great to have you here. So let's jump right in. Could you tell us what the difference is between a real rehabilitation psychologist and the psychologist that many people talk to when they have common mental health issues like anxiety or something like depression?
So there are a number of important distinctions. The first is, in fact, location. Most people who are seeking psychological help for something like anxiety or depression are seeking a psychologist who I would call a community-based psychologist. In other words, they have an office in an office building someplace out in the community, and people will go to their office at whatever frequency, weekly or whatever frequency they go. In contrast, a rehabilitation psychologist is usually located in a facility of some sort, like a hospital or a rehabilitation institute. Mm-hmm. So as you just mentioned, I work at the Johnson Rehabilitation Institute, which is part of JFK Medical Center, University Medical Center in Edison. So I'm never located out in the community. I'm in the hospital building itself, mm-hmm. and patients are referred to me from internally from within the hospital.
Okay. And now, as we, you know, as I just mentioned in your introduction, it says that you work with patients who are getting outpatient rehabilitation for four different types of problems, right? So
yes.
They are, well, let's we can go one at a time, or we have chronic pain, cardiac, pulmonary, and stroke. And it's not the same for all of them, I wouldn't think. So let's go. Can we go one at a time?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So the first one is, chronic pain.
And you're absolutely right. The assessments and the treatments are different for the different causes of people's rehabilitation problems. So chronic pain is a widespread issue in the United States. Whether that's, you know, chronic low back pain or migraines, sometimes it's people with irritable bowel syndrome or fibromyalgia. These are common kinds of chronic pain issues.
Mm-hmm.
And my approach to all of my patients, including chronic pain patients, is holistic. So I don't create in my mind when I'm working with a patient a division between mind and body. Society still does that, where we say we have mental health issues versus medical or physical health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the mind and the body are all connected. We are one integrated being. There's no divide, really, between the mind and the body. And on some level, most people are aware of that. So, for example, if somebody is very worried, they might feel what we call butterflies in their stomach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a sense of mild nausea, or they may get muscle tension in their shoulders, right? So the worry that's going on in the mind is affecting the body. And the reverse is also true. It's bidirectional. So a person who's in a lot of pain, for example, may have a lot of worries, right? So a person who didn't used to have pain, but now they have developed chronic low back pain. And I'll explain what chronic means in a minute, but
okay.
Chronic low back pain, and now they're worried, you know, they're no longer going to be able to be the involved grandparent that with their grandchildren that they always were because they can't pick them up anymore,
mm-hmm.
or they can't go to their sports games or whatever it might be. So,
or they can't do anything physical, you know, whether, you know, exercise and things like that, right?
Depends on how severe it is.
Yeah.
That's true. So my approach to all of my patients is holistic, and I'm always working with people about the idea of mind-body integration and to recognize that there's bidirectional influences going on. So now specifically to chronic pain, which is where we said we would start. So chronic pain is defined as somebody who has been in pain for 6 months or longer. So if somebody, you know, unfortunately breaks their leg, right, that's an acute pain. That's not chronic pain. That's purely a medical problem, right? They need x-rays and they need their leg to be set in a cast, right? And most people make a full recovery from that and people go on with their lives. But sometimes people develop chronic pains. You know, people might have an occasional headache, but it's different if you have migraines almost every day for 6 months or longer. Then it becomes defined as a chronic situation. And my approach to chronic pain patients is based on the assumption that the body has built-in wisdom, right? So in healthy people, if there's a cut on the skin knows how to heal, right? Mm-hmm. The body is wise. As I mentioned earlier, bones knit, right? It's pretty amazing that you can break a bone and if it's set properly in 6 weeks, the bone has figured out how to knit and it's essentially good as new. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, the human body is pretty amazing how it heals itself. Nothing else
amazing,
does that, right?
Right. Immune systems fight when they're healthy, right? Like, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes chronic pain makes medical sense. Like, for example, there's cancer pain. So, you know, somebody may have been in pain for more than 6 months with a cancer situation. So that all makes medical sense. But sometimes there's chronic pain that doesn't actually make medical sense. And a person has gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor trying to figure out what is wrong. And they have been through many, many kinds of scans, and doctors have referred them for more and more procedures, and nothing is helping. And so that raises the question, why isn't the body healing itself? Because bodies know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the doctors have ruled out a medical cause, now, there may be some things that, you know, doctors learn something new every day, every year, right? Medical science is always progressing, and maybe there'll be a medical understanding of this pain next year that we don't have this year. That's always possible. But in the meantime, you know, they end up referring the patient to me to see whether or not there's some kind of psychological counterpart or underpinning that is involved in this chronic pain.
Hmm.
And trying to unravel that is what I do with chronic pain patients. So there's one theory, for example, a psychological theory about chronic pain, which is that essentially it became overlearned, right? A person had an acute pain issue, and very simplistically speaking, the way we learn things always is that there are new neurological connections formed in the brain, right? The brain has tens of billions of neurons, and when we learn something new, there's new connections made between those neurons. And the better we understand something, or the more we do something, the stronger those connections are. So the more often a child learns to tie their shoe, the stronger the connection is, and eventually most of us can tie our shoes without actually even looking, right? So that's a very overlearned thing. There are other things that can be very overlearned, like, you know, a favorite recipe that somebody cooks. They don't have to look at the paper anymore. They just know what to do.
Right, memorization in that case, yeah.
Kind of, yes. But the way that's working is that the neuronal connections in the brain are getting stronger. So one thought is that the brain basically learned the pain connection and is continuing to fire that pain connection, telling the person that they are in pain, when in fact there isn't any tissue damage in the body. So an analogy might be if the engine light in a car goes on, right? So maybe there's a problem in the engine, or maybe there's a malfunction in the light, right? Maybe the engine is fine, but the light keeps flashing, saying that the engine is broken or malfunctioning. So one theory is that the brain is like the malfunctioning light. It keeps saying that there's pain, that there's tissue damage, when there isn't. So I'm in no way suggesting that people are making up their pain, right, or that it's kind of all in their heads is the way, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you clarified that, because I thought if it's entirely psychological, then that would be the case, right? But that's not what you're saying.
Yes. And truthfully, even if it has strong psychological underpinnings, and I can come to that, the pain is real. If people are feeling pain, it's real. They're not making it up. Nobody wants to be in pain. Everybody wants their pain to go away. So in any event, in this particular theory where it's kind of overlearned, it's like the light in the car that's flashing, and it's the signal that's actually malfunctioning, not the engine, not the body itself.
So just to clarify, the people are actually feeling pain, and they're not choosing to feel the pain, but it may be a case of where there is no real reason for the pain being there, and there's a malfunction. Okay.
Right, exactly. So the idea is, if the brain can learn things, the brain can also unlearn things. And a patient can work with me to figure out how to fix that malfunctioning light signal, you know, the signal in the car, right? Get that part fixed, because the engine was actually fine all along.
And you don't have to look at it, right?
That's right.
In this case, deal with the pain.
That's right. Well, and not just deal with it, but in fact, unlearn it so that it's no longer being felt, right?
Right. I mean, you're dealing with it now, and then you unlearn it, and then you're relieved. Yeah.
Well, you don't have it anymore. The malfunctioning signal is now working properly. There is another theory, which is that physical pain is an expression of emotional or psychological pain, and in some cases that's the case, right? So people who, for example, may have a very serious trauma history and have never been able to work through that, maybe, you know, professionally with a therapist, and, you know, their lives are very complicated. And sometimes that gets expressed as physical pain. And again, if I can help patients to see that connection, then they can actually alleviate their physical pain. So many chronic pain patients, for example, actually recognize that stress will make their pain worse. Now, stress is a mind-body event. As I said, I don't divide the mind from the body, right? So when a person feels stressed, their body reacts to that. Their heart pounds harder, their blood pressure may go up, there's increased muscle tension, and all of those things may contribute to their physical pain feeling even worse, because there isn't, in my approach, a distinction between a mind and body in those kinds of events. So if people can understand that, for example, stress management may help reduce their pain flares, then, right, that allows a patient to have greater control over their pain and be able to reduce it themselves. And, you know, this is without pharmaceuticals. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, yes, stress does cause pain in many cases, you know, heart pain, you know, chest pain, things like that. And you're saying by managing that, it obviously it eliminates the pain and you don't need medication. Do patients come to you, or are they referred to you after they've tried medication, or sometimes they are, sometimes they're not?
That depends on their medical doctor, their physician's approach. They come to me from a referral from a medical doctor.
Okay.
So whether that doctor has tried pharmaceuticals or been trying injections of various sorts, like epidurals or steroid injections, pain management doctors have a large toolbox, and our pain management doctors here at JFK have large toolboxes from which they can work with patients And sometimes they also refer the patient to me.
Okay.
So that's what I would say about the chronic pain patients, is that I try to help people use their minds to better control their bodies.
Talking with Dr. Alyssa Kaplan, rehabilitation psychologist, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, there are different types of pain and different types of patients. So, what's another type of patient that you would be dealing with for rehabilitation?
So, I frequently work with cardiac rehabilitation mm-hmm. patients. These are people who have often needed a stent. Put in a cardiac artery in order to open up the artery, what people, one time called clogged arteries, right? So so that the blood flows properly. They get a stent put in. It's a day procedure. Sometimes cardiac patients have had open heart surgery and had, bypasses. It's a much more invasive process. And we have a very robust cardiac rehab program here. It's actually combined with our pulmonary rehab program, which I'll get to in a little bit.
But, okay.
In terms of cardiac patients, most people have never really thought too much about their heart. And when it suddenly isn't working right, they often have a sense of it almost like betrayal, that their heart betrayed them and that they can't trust it anymore. And they don't know what they can do and what they can't do. And it's a frightening situation.
Yeah, so you think, all right, I'm not, like, it's your heart, right? So people are worried, like, it's failed me. It's not going to be perfect ever again. And is that, you're saying that's where the stress...
Well, that's the thought.
Yeah, that's the thought.
In many patients' minds that is frightening them. That's
yeah.
not necessarily true medically. And in fact, what many patients don't realize is that after their procedure, they're actually healthier than they were before the event that brought them to the cardiologist in the first place, right? You know, the day before they had chest pain, they didn't know that mm-hmm. they had a problem with their heart, right? And they were just going about their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did have a problem there, and then the problem got fixed, and they're actually healthier afterwards. But they don't see it that way.
They feel it's damaged, and that psychologically they're thinking it's them.
Well, that's kind of the thought is, what's going to happen if I lift up this bag of groceries, mm-hmm. right? Like, and now, many cardiac patients don't go through this, right? Many cardiac patients make a very smooth recovery, and it may be that the person who ends up seeing me had a pre-existing anxiety disorder, right? So somebody mm-hmm. who has been anxious for many years, and now this happens to them, right? So that might be somebody who's referred to me. Or
okay.
somebody who had been depressed for many years, and now this just seems like it's going to, it's one more thing in their life to cope with and deal with, and it makes things worse. So lots of people, of course, have pre-existing mental health issues before they have some kind of medical event that now they also have a rehabilitation issue.
Right. Now, another type is the pulmonary rehabilitation
uh-huh,
center,
uh-huh.
Rehabilitation patient.
Yes. So with pulmonary patients, I actually take a paradoxical approach to treatment. Many pulmonary patients are working very hard to not think about their breathing problems. They're trying to distract themselves and whatever else. They're understandably scared of their breathing situation. And there are patients who I work with who are on supplemental oxygen 24 hours a day, right? They're scared about their breathing issues. But I teach them to breathing techniques and meditation techniques that have them focus on their breathing and to be less reactive. Because when we become alarmed by a situation, all kinds of things happen in our bodies, right? Our
right.
heart rate increases, our blood pressure increases, all those kinds of things, right? So if I can help somebody not be reactive, emotionally reactive.
Right, and everybody is right?
Reactive.
Everybody is one way or one time or another to situations and things,
Many, many people are,
yeah.
yes. Right, so to be less emotionally reactive to a chronic situation allows the body to work better. And patients have a little device, pulmonary patients, where they can see how much oxygen is actually flowing in their bodies. They put it on the end of their fingertip, and they can see that. And we can look at that number before doing a meditation and look at that number immediately after doing a meditation, and they'll see that even though they were focusing on their breathing during the meditation, which is normally something that scares them, that they relaxed and they now have more oxygen moving through their bloodstream, right? So with pulmonary patients, is a very easy before and after test to show this is working, right? If you practice this, you can feel better, right? It's not a cure for, you know, a pulmonary problem. It's a way to manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's yet another way. I mean, often they're on medications as well. This is not a substitute for any medication that a doctor prescribes. My techniques that I teach patients or the discussions that we have is always supplemental to what the medical doctors are doing.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So is that like a runner who the practices better breathing so they can run further, and it's kind of is the same thing? Is that a fair?
That's a fair analysis.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
So you can handle it.
And there's also very different breathing strategies, running strategies, if you're a sprinter and if you're a marathon runner.
Right, right.
So people with chronic medical issues need a marathon runner's mentality. It's the long haul. It's not the short sprint.
All right, well, we only have a few minutes left, so I want to make sure we get to all of them. And then you have the stroke rehabilitation patients as well. What are some of the issues that that these patients will grapple with after having a stroke?
So stroke patients, the key with stroke patients is that they should get to the hospital very quickly, because there's amazing medicines in the emergency room. And so if anybody has any question about whether they're having a stroke, they should just go to the emergency room, because these medicines are virtually miraculous and people can make a great recovery. There are strokes that are fairly catastrophic, and people may have multiple disabilities. They may be in a wheelchair. They may not be able to speak well or not be able to speak at all. I mean, there can be catastrophic situations. And in those situations, people have difficulty envisioning a life worth living. And I work with them to help them be able to have that hope and to be able to re-envision their life. A stroke is like a bolt of lightning. You know, 1 minute you're fine, and an hour later you're not, right?
Right.
And so
it just comes
shocking.
Out of nowhere, yeah.
Right, it comes out of nowhere, and it's shocking, right? So in a catastrophic situation, life has to be re-envisioned, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be fulfilling and meaningful and full of love. And I help patients to reconnect with those and help them to be able to envision what a fulfilling life would look like for them now. What kind of hobbies can they still engage in? Can they get involved in volunteering and helping other people? Can they, you know, be more involved in childcare when they were always out of the house working before, and so now they actually, since, you know, they may be disabled from working for a while, maybe they can be more involved in childcare, which could be very rewarding. So I help patients to try and envision a positive future, and very often they can.
All right. In the less than a minute we have left, I just want to know, what is it that you, it seems like you treat so many different type of people, different type of patients. What is it that you love the most about treating these rehabilitation patients, these outpatient rehabilitation?
Well, I've always seen outpatient rehabilitation as the good news end of healthcare. Patients are medically stable. They're getting stronger. They're feeling better. They're seeing function return. So, you know, I love working with patients. It's a very hopeful setting.
And how can they get a hold of you if they want to schedule an appointment?
So they would need to be getting rehabilitation for some kind of physical issue or medical issue here in the hospital, and then their physician or their nurse, depending on who's leading their rehabilitation team, right? So in cardiac and pulmonary, it's nurses who are leading the team. And for stroke and chronic pain patients, it's physicians who are leading the team, and they send the referrals to me. So nobody calls me. Patients don't call me directly.
Right.
They're
okay.
always referred through their healthcare team here.
All right. Dr. Alyssa Kaplan, rehabilitation psychologist, JFK University Medical Center. Thank you for taking the time to speak.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Joel. Thank you.
For more info, you can go to jfkmc.org. And for a podcast of this show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com or magic983.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.